Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to another hour of our Ask the Experts weekend. And who am I kidding? This is not just another hour. This, what we have here, is a brand new hour. I'm joined today by the hard worker himself, Pete the Job Guy Langlois. And Pete offers a very valuable service to our community and other communities nearby. See, what Pete does is Pete has a bunch of jobs, and Pete has a bunch of people who are looking for jobs. And he combines the two, and he reaches out to employers and puts people with their dream jobs. So today and every Sunday morning at 8 a.m., you can tune in to get free career advice and insight on the latest employment trends from the staffing industry's leading authority, Pete the Job Guy Langlois. With over 30 years of experience in staffing, we invite you to join the discussion on workplace controversies with an honest and entertaining filter. And even though we had you on the Mark Kaye Show Friday morning, this is actually your first time on WOKV's airwaves. And let's get this show started. Pete, welcome.
Welcome to all you hard workers out there. Glad you could join us today. We've all heard the saying, work smarter, not harder, right? Of course you have. You know, that statement makes me cringe. Work smarter, not harder. And I'll tell you why. Let's break it down. Work smarter. There's nothing wrong with that. If there's a better way to do something that creates efficiencies, meaning you're able to do it better, faster, or cheaper, or accomplish the same tasks with less effort, then great, by all means, work smarter. It's the not harder part that really makes my head spin. If you can work harder and you don't, then shame on you. You have an obligation to yourself, to your family, and your employer to give it your level best every day. And if you create efficiencies by working smarter, then use the time you save to work harder and gain more efficiencies, to be more productive, to be more effective at whatever you do. But no matter what, you have to give it your all, every work minute of every work day. So let's change that broken saying up again, right? Work smarter, not harder. Let's throw that one away. It's better said, work smarter and work harder. Or best said, work smartest and work your hardest. All right, we have a very special show for you today with two great guests. Both of our guests are industry leaders in their respective fields, and they both have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they're kind enough to share with us today and help us on our career journeys. And that's what this show is all about. Whether you've been working, you've been in the workforce for 20 minutes or 20 years, whether you turn wrenches, you sell widgets, or you run a big company, we're going to share information with you each week that will help you land that coveted job or deal with a difficult coworker or plan out your career path and so much more. And if you're looking for a new job, stay tuned because I'll tell you how you can be eligible to get a job offer live on the air with me, with a destination employer right here in town. Okay? And a destination employer is an employer that you want to end up at. People want to work there. And speaking of destination employers in town, Suddeth, a global logistics and relocation company here in Jax, has one of my favorite people retiring after 25 years of employment there. That is Beverly Rogers. And Beverly's been the director of organizational development. Beverly, I want you to know that your coworkers and I would like to wish you all the best in this next chapter in your life. And now, let's go to our Pete the Job Guy news reporter, Aaron Mills, with the weekly employment update. Aaron?
Thanks, Pete. The jobless rate in the U.S. fell to 3.9% in April, touching the lowest mark since December 2000. The rate has been stuck at 4.1% the previous 6 months. The economy looks different today than it did in the last days of the tech boom. In 2018, interest rates are lower, economic growth is more moderate, and the stock market, while performing well, hasn't nearly had the same run-up rate as it did in the 1990s. As for Jacksonville, the unemployment rate is continuing to fall. Since January, we were at 3.9%, and now, in April, we are at 3.2%. The top-performing industries in Jax right now are healthcare and information technology, with a growth in manufacturing. That's it from me, Pete. This is Aaron Mills with your economic update.
Thank you, Aaron. Our first guest today is Lori Day. Lori is Senior Vice President and Chief Customer Operations Officer at EverBank. She's also on the Diversity and Inclusion Council, and she serves as the executive sponsor for the Women's Employee Resource Group, Advance. Now, Lori, I know it's safe to say you've been a manager, director, vice president, a leader, and a hiring manager for many years. I won't say how many, but I know it's been a lot more than 5 years. Is that correct?
More than five would be correct. More like decades.
Okay.
We'll leave it there.
All right. Great. Well, and throughout your career, you've been pretty passionate about helping people. You've been a career coach, mentor, and very involved in the community. Isn't that right?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it's safe to say that. What I want to know now is, as a leader and a hiring manager, and I know you've interviewed, I don't even want to put a number to it, but I know there's a lot of zero. You've interviewed a lot of people. And what's important to you is not just hiring, it's retaining the top talent that you've hired. And I know that's safe to say that you've retained thousands of employees over your years. I want to focus on your interviewing techniques right now. Without getting into too many specifics, what kinds of questions do you ask in an interview, and what types of answers are you looking for that help you make your decisions?
So I think part of the interview process of questions, answers, is really around how am I able to help someone paint their story for me. It used to be back in the day where the standard questions are, tell me your strengths, tell me your weaknesses, what are the things you're most proud of? And those just don't help create the environment that gives me a forward look on how someone will be successful with my team. So instead, I ask questions about the job requirements and the competencies that accompany that. And I ask a candidate to paint a picture by telling me examples of times where they've had experiences in certain things. And when asked to share their examples with me, I'm really looking for them to show me who they are, what they've done, how they've interacted with other people, how they've used different skills to achieve things and solve problems. If they can paint that picture for me of an experience they've had in their past, then I'm able to see in the future how they could fit in my organization.
Outstanding. And Lori, if they begin to answer their questions with, oh, well, I always do this, or this is what I would do. Okay,
yeah.
One's hypothetical and one is speaking in generalities. Well, how's that going to work out for
them? That's really not working out for me. But I will ask the question again. And the term is behavior-based interviewing is kind of the buzzword or the term, and it really is about understanding others' behaviors. So when I ask for a candidate to give me an example, and the answer is, well, I typically or I usually or... then I'll say, that's great to hear. Can you give me an example of when you did that and what the circumstances are? And if we still can't get there, maybe after a couple of times, then we'll change the topic. But I'll still go back to wanting to see, by example, stories that the candidate can share with me, their stories of where they've been successful, where they've had challenges. And if we can't get there, then honestly, that's not someone that I'm going to feel confident will be successful in a role on my team.
Right. And for example, if you ask a prospective manager, tell me about an experience where you've dealt with a difficult employee and how you handled it and how you mm-hmm. resolved it. And if they say, oh, well, I always make sure that I tell them that they should do this or, you know, without that specific example, and they keep speaking in generalities, could that potentially be a showstopper or demonstrate to you that they don't have that specific experience?
That's going to be the question in my mind. Do they really have the experience that I need to be mm-hmm. successful, not only for my team, but for them? Will they be in a role that they truly can achieve and be strong at? And if they can't demonstrate that they've had examples in the past that correlate to what the job is I'm hiring for, then it does add a lot of question in my hiring decisions.
At EverBank, you interview someone. Do you expect the candidates to know anything about EverBank walking through the door?
I do. I really do, because to me, if someone is focused on a job and they want the job, I want to understand why. So do they want the job because this is the perfect role that they've always been looking for, regardless of the company? That's good to know. It's authentic. But if they are running from something that they're at now versus running towards the position and the company that I'm part of, that's important to know. If someone's running towards something, they're going to want to be prepared. Being prepared is able to know how to correlate the company's vision and mission. And that's pretty available. On if you go and Google a company, whether it's mine or somebody else's, you can find out a lot by not only looking at the company website, you can look at reviews, and being able to articulate the candidate's skills and their abilities and parlay that into the company itself shows not only have they done their homework, but they care. If they care, then that says they're going to care about my customers. They're going to care about their teammates. And that is really important.
For when you review resumes, should the resumes be customized or tailored for the position, or should people just write one resume and send it out to all prospective employers?
In today's environment, it's so vital to have specific, unique resumes that paint the picture the candidate wants to paint. If they want to paint a picture that one size fits all, then of course they can do that. But I will tell you, most major companies have a screening process because of the volume of candidates coming through the door. So a machine is actually going to take the words on the paper that has the job description, and they will run it against the words that are on the candidate's resume. If those words don't match up or have themes that match up, that candidate may never get a chance for me to see them. And if I don't get a chance to see them, then I won't know what a great job they could do for me. And so it's important to write your resume where you're keyed into not only the performance objectives, but what are the behaviors? What are the competencies that this job is looking for? And be able to paint that picture all along the candidate's process, albeit their cover letter, the resume, when they're sitting across from someone or doing a phone interview, and most importantly, when they write their follow-up thank you. That's perhaps shows my decades in business, but it's something I think is vitally important, is to say thanks.
I'm glad you just said that about the follow-up letter, because it just goes right into my next question that I have for you. Does a shoe shine and a handshake still mean something for a prospective employer, meaning that first impression, looking sharp, arriving on time, which seems to be a little bit difficult for people now? Does that all still matter?
It does matter. It goes back to what I was talking about a minute ago about caring. So if you're doing the research and you're demonstrating you care, you also show that you care by taking the time, looking the part, being present and engaged, and making that first impression, and that is eye contact, what you're wearing, how you're presenting yourself. It shows that, again, you care about the impression you're making, you care about the job that you want, and you'll care about then my customers and teammates going forward. So to me, it's vital.
And I want all the listeners here to keep in mind that this isn't someone whose career it is to give tips to you. This is the person you sit across from when you interview. She's doing this to help you. She's taking time out of a very busy schedule to tell you what she keys in on. And I'm going to tell you, she's not unlike many employers out there. You know, there's a big, there's a lot of folks out there that have a lot of work experience. They have 15 years maybe at a company, and to them, they think it's old hat. And they might not have updated their resume. And diving in and interviewing again, it's a foreign concept, you know? What do you say to that person who hasn't interviewed in so long? It's all new to them. They come and they sit across from you. They're probably going to be nervous a little bit, just as much as the newbie. What do you say to this person who's in a career transition?
Well, for the person who's in a career transition, what I would say first is I hope you've always been a networker. Even if you've not been in a job search perspective before, you don't want to build a network when you need a network. you truly should be engaging with people, helping them understand who you are, what you do, and being able to help them along the way. So when you are ready to start a career search or a reset, that you've got a network to go to. If you don't have a network and you're finding yourself in a situation where you haven't had to interview for a job or go look for a job before, I would suggest that you really spend some time with whether it's a neighbor or a formal coach or someone where you can just practice. Being a little nervous, again, it kind of shows you care, but you don't want the nerves to be so stifling to your information, right? You don't want to put yourself in a situation where you can't communicate the great things you can do because you can't get the words out. And one of the best ways, I think, to be able to get the words out and have the nerves be at bay is someone should be thinking about 4 or 5 scenarios or stories that are in their pocket, they know the detail, and they can apply that story or scenario to just about any of the behavior-based questions. So if someone says, tell me about a time where you had a particularly difficult situation with a peer, that same story might also be one that you could articulate how you had a very successful outcome in a challenging situation, whether it's specific to the peer relationship or problem solving. But if you have your stories, you know your details, and you can know where they are applied, you suddenly don't have to worry about what you're going to say. Now you're thinking about when you're going to say it and show that you can be a valued player in this new organization.
Great advice. Lori, I had a hiring manager tell me one time, if someone shows up to the interview with sunglasses on their head or they're chewing gum, that's a showstopper right there. They're out. I discontinue the interview and show them the door. Now, I think that's really harsh. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any showstoppers for you, or are there any pet peeves or some things that you might want to just tell people that they wouldn't normally consider that might, common sense for whatever reason, doesn't click on with some people? What would you say?
So I would like to give everyone an opportunity to show their best. And so I don't know if I would say that's a showstopper, but I'll tell you a funny story. I interviewed someone that was great credentials on paper. And when they came to me, we were having the conversation and they fell asleep while we were having the conversation face to face in the interview. And so, sorry, that was my showstopper. you know, it just, and maybe there was reason for it. I'm sure there was. But that was just left. There was no explanation. And if someone recognized and said, hey, look, you know, I think I need to apologize because I probably wasn't as attentive as I hoped to be. Last night I had something go on. I'd feel like, wow, they were authentic. They recognized that was probably not their best forward foot, but was able to recover by explaining it. This situation, they just like fell asleep. It was hilarious, but it was kind of bizarre too. Yeah. So, you know, there's always those human interactions that will give you a laugh. They'll surprise you in all kinds of ways, but I don't know if there's other showstoppers that would prevent me from at least exploring the person who was interested in the job I had, besides falling asleep.
I always say, you know, some people say work hard, play hard. Well, if you go out and hoot with the owls at night, you better be ready to soar with the eagles in the morning is what I say. You need to answer the buzzer, check your bags at the door,
right,
and be ready for that bell. Lori, I know at Everbank, you know, you may have some open positions. It's a large company. And what I'd like to know is, do you have anything very specific you can tell our listeners that you're hiring for? Maybe not you personally, but at your organization. Is there anything that maybe one of our listeners will say, holy cow, I have that exact skill set? What is that?
Well, there are numerous positions that are posted every day. If you go to the career section of our website, which is everbank.com, soon to be TIAA Bank, you'll see those positions. But selfishly, I'm going to take this opportunity to let you know that there is a position. It's not in my organization, but it supports my organization. And it requires some pretty specific skills that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. So if any of the listeners happen to have experience with workforce management and capacity planning, there is a workforce management analyst position that is open right now. And if those skills are something that fits your resume and you'd like to apply, I can share even the requisition number. So again, you go to the career site, and if you look for workforce management analyst, and the ID number for that job is actually 1-800-6342. So that might be something if your listeners have those specific skills. We'd love to understand if there's a fit.
Outstanding. If there's an analyst out there with those specific skill sets, that's a destination employer. That's a hot job that's open right now. And Lori just instructed you exactly how to get there and how to apply for that job. Lori, it's been my pleasure having you here today. Any parting thoughts?
Parting thoughts would be, again, with the workforce that is being deployed today in all kinds of environments, I would encourage those to think about all varieties of roles. So whether it's technical skills or human relation type skills, there's virtual leadership capabilities as well. And to not think about one position necessarily as being a destiny. I would consider that your career is more like a jungle gym or a rock climbing wall. You don't go straight up like a ladder. And so sometimes if you think about your rock climbing wall, you may have to move to the side to be able to reach up to the next level. You may have to move down a little bit so you can have sure footing. And I think that in today's environment, with so much digital landscape and so many different opportunities to work nationally, locally, globally, virtually, whatever illy you want to put in there, it's I just think to look broadly and think about those transferable skills. It's not necessarily just being a specialist, but how can you become a generalist in things that are problem solving, collaboration, teamwork, strategy? Those type of things would be transferable in just about any industry. So I'd encourage folks out there to think about the rock wall, the jungle gym, and maybe put the ladder aside.
Boy, those are true words. Lori Day, thank you very much for joining us today, and we will be right back.